There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it.
There you go.
With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Replay.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1060, September 13th, 2024. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say green means go for Newey. Lawrence wants daddy's little Jim Clark to be world champion. Mercedes man at Maranello. But more than this, we have Machismo's first Formula One employer in the palatial studios. Hopefully, no lost in translation. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Newey to Aston Martin, it's official, folks. Is Fernando too old to reap the rewards in this new dream team? Lawrence Stroll's final goal is a grab for Max Verstappen. And this week's interviews, Giancarlo Minardi, the founder of Minardi. And yes, let's not forget that we do need your contributions to keep this program on the air. So just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. I want to apologize to all the listeners for any technical difficulties we've had in the past couple of weeks, but Nasser and I are traveling in Europe and makes things difficult to seek out problematic solutions for our systems. So please bear with us. We're back in the States next week. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you doing?
Well, the big news this week, the bargain hunter from the land of Tim Horton gets Adrian Newey's John Hancock. The aerodynamics genius will start at Aston Martin in March of next year as managing technical partner. His reported salary is around $26 million per year, meaning just over $2 million per month. Only Lawrence Stroll would call this a bargain. The fact a designer is being paid more than most Grand Prix drivers on the grid today says a lot how much Adrian Newey is valued in the paddock. Ferrari bailed out of what they call bidding war for his services. Time will tell if they will regret not signing him. The sweetener in the deal for Adrian is he is also now a shareholder in the Aston Martin F1 team. Very surprised Red Bull did not offer him this opportunity or any of the other teams he worked for and produced championship-winning cars. I watched the press conference live on YouTube. This was very nicely done, and both Lawrence and Adrian took questions from the media. Best comment came from Lawrence. Nothing good comes cheap, and he should know. Once upon a time, a question was asked in a song. How much is that doggy in the window? The Maple Leaf Maven has been asking manager extraordinaire Eddie Jordan, how much is that designer at the Red Bull exit door? The answer is £100 million. Now the only question to be answered is, cash in Cayman Islands or Canadian Express? Don't leave Red Bull without it. Where is this all leading to? With Adrian and Honda in the house, it is only a matter of time before Aston Martin has a package that is Red Bull of 2023 or McLaren of 1988. Then the team's number one driver, Lance Stroll, will only need an obedient Rubinho to become world champion. We have seen this movie before when Lance became Formula 3 champion. Published reports back then claimed Daddy bought the best team, Prema, and offered other top drivers free seat as long as they played second banana to Lance. Things in Formula One can be even more slippery. Time, aero collars, and lots of dollars will show if Lance will be able to perform putting on the Ritz at the top stage of motor racing. I am so glad Lawrence found a bargain. The real question is, will Machismo be around to drive an Adrian Newey designed car in 2026, powered by his favorite engine manufacturer? What say you, amigo?
Well, it's pretty exciting. I mean, think about it. Newey, Fernando, billions and billions of dollars, and yes, a possible championship. But the problem is, I mean, can Newey turn all of this around by 2026 with a new package? The advantage, of course, Newey has worked with the Honda package at Red Bull with a lot of success. So he retains the Honda package while Red Bull has to deal with a better idea, Ford. So it's going to be interesting, but I believe there's a good chance that Fernando maybe not win a championship, but could reap the rewards of a few Grand Prix wins as they build up towards Lance's world championship.
The thing that has really surprised me, and there is no official explanation of this, how come Newey is not serving a year-long gardening leave? If there was anybody in motor racing who should have a 12 or maybe a 24-month gardening leave, it's Adrian Newey. Maybe he had something in his contract that we are not aware of. Or maybe his manager, Mr. Jordan, learned a few tricks how to negotiate a contract after someone slipped from his hands and his team after just one race back in 1991. More on Stroll. Show me the money. Hard to believe Lance Stroll is saying this, but then again, he only deals with billions and billions. According to Sky F1, there is more American money flowing into Formula One, with HPS and XL making a substantial investment in Aston Martin team. From green, we go red. Ferrari announced last week that French engineer Louis Serra will be technical director chassis side starting on October 1. He will be replacing Enrico Cardile, who is headed to Aston Martin. Next on the item, sir, K-Mac kaput for Baku, Behrman back. Kevin Magnussen has become the first victim of Formula One version of three strikes, you're out. The Great Dane earned himself 12 penalty points within 12 months, so now he must watch the race on his Lenovo laptop, as they are Formula One's official technology partner. So Oli Behrman gets another opportunity this year to drive in a Grand Prix. Last time it was in Saudi in a Ferrari. In Baku, he will do the street fight in a Haas. Now, banning a driver is nothing new under the sun. Let's look at some other high-profile bans. 1989 Portuguese Grand Prix. Il Leone was shown the black flag for reversing his Ferrari in the pit lane. An absolute no-no in motor racing. He kept going, and here I am borrowing a phrase from Peter Waugh, like an uncouth Brummy. What was even more bizarre was Ayrton Senna kept racing him hard till they collided and took each other out. I can think of two other drivers who I think would have done the same thing as Senna. One made his Grand Prix debut at Spa, and the other was born near Spa, but he is from a neighboring country. You guessed it! These are the two I'm talking about. So Arnaiz had to watch the Spanish Grand Prix, which was the next event, on Pi Telly. Now we come to the greats. Even they make mistakes. Mika Hakkinen, German Grand Prix. The man from Vantaa near Helsinki, Mika Hakkinen, caused mayhem at the start, which took out several cars, and he was banned and had to miss a race. And his BFF, Michael Schumacher, British Grand Prix 1994. He passed Damon Hill twice on the formation lap, which is of course not allowed. He was given a penalty, then the World Motorsport Council banned him from two races, which I think led him to miss the Belgian and Italian Grand Prix races. So that's the way it goes sometime. And finally, first lap nutter. That was Romain Grosjean at Spa in 2012, and if I remember correctly, it pretty much cost Machismo his third championship, which he's still seeking desperately as he was caught up in the carambolage that followed. At Monza, the following race, Mr. Grosjean was a spectator. And sir, it's not only the World Motorsports Council and FIA that ban drivers. Teams have also banned drivers now and then. The most classic example is Tolman team benching their driver for the 1984 Italian Grand Prix because he had broken the contract and signed to drive for Lotus in 1985. And the gentleman's name was Ayrton Senna da Silva. So benching a talent like Ayrton Senna, that is a mega stroke of genius. My kudos to the person who made that decision. Sir, you have any comments on these hirings and firings and bannings? Or everything is hunky-dory for Mr. Rogers these days?
I'm not very happy about it. Hulkenberg's not very happy. Nobody should be happy about people being banned from their job. That's his job. He's got to earn a living for his family. And I think it's wrong. It sets a bad precedent. I think you can fine him. You could send him to anger management school. See, that's what we do out in the West. So let's hope they come up with a better plan, because I think this was not very well received.
Okay, folks, before we go into Motorsports Mondial, let's do an interview that was conducted past weekend, and this is with Mr. Giancarlo Minardi. Well, Mr. Rogers, I was in the media room at Imola when I saw Signor Minardi being interviewed on telly. I went to the media center reception desk and requested to find out A, if Mr. Minardi speaks English, and B, if it will be possible to do an interview with him. In less than 20 minutes, the lady told me I can meet him on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, and they have also arranged for a translator. That was very nice and very efficient of these ladies to help me out, so my mille grazie to them. As we all know, Minardi team was in Formula One for many years. Some of the big names like Fernando Alonso and Mark Webber, and if you want, we can also throw in the name of Alex Jung, started out at Minardi. And who can forget Sebastian Vettel's first victory in the rain at Monza? Even though the car was Toro Rosso, the spirit was definitely Minardi. I hope F1 Weekly Familia members enjoy this conversation, and hope not much is lost in translation. Thank you. Okay, folks, I'm here at Imola with Signor Giancarlo Minardi. Mr. Minardi, thank you very much for your time. How are you today?
Benvenuto a Imola. Welcome in Imola. Thank you for the interview.
Great to be here. Friday, April 5, 1985, Rio de Janeiro. A special day in your life. What are the best memories you have from that day?
Ma credo che sia stato il giorno più importante della mia storia, perché alle 9:30 del venerdì del 5 aprile, quando si è acceso il semaforo verde, ho capito che ero in Formula 1.
È stato sicuramente il giorno più importante della... It was surely the most important day in my life, because when the red light switched on at 9:30 that Friday morning, there I really understood that I was in F1.
Great. Your small team, starting with 22 people, made a big impression in the world of Formula One and is fondly remembered to this day. Looking back, what are you most proud of from your time in Formula One from 1985 to 2005?
È partito con una piccola squadra con 22 persone, facendo comunque un grande impatto sul mondo della Formula 1, e viene ricordato ancora con molto affetto ancora oggi. Riguardando al passato, quali sono le cose delle quali va più fiero del suo periodo trascorso in Formula 1 dall'85 al 2005?
Ma è stata un'avventura importante, una lotta e cercare di battere se stessi anno dopo anno, e ci ha permesso di fare 340 Gran Premi.
It surely was a big adventure and first of all a big fight even against ourselves, because that was what allowed us to carry out 340 Grand Prix throughout the years.
La cosa strana, non avendo mai vinto niente, l'affetto che ancora oggi la gente, il pubblico ha nei miei confronti.
The weirdest thing is, since I never actually won anything, is the big the love and the fondness that people show towards me.
Many great names in Formula One were associated with your team. Let's start with Commendatore Enzo Ferrari, Your team was able to test at Fiorano. He also gave you a Ferrari to test young Italian drivers. How did this arrangement came about?
Molti grandi nomi della Formula 1 sono stati in relazione con la sua squadra. Cominciamo dal commendatore Enzo Ferrari. La sua squadra ha potuto fare test a Fiorano e lui le diede anche una Ferrari per fare test con giovani piloti italiani. E, come siete giunti a questo accordo?
Ma è nato un accordo con l'ingegnere Ferrari. Io ho conosciuto l'ingegnere Ferrari il 26 novembre del 1974. È stato un colloquio di quasi 5 ore e dopo queste 5 ore sono uscito con una Ferrari 312T con tutti i pezzi di ricambio per allevare dei giovani piloti italiani. Credo che lì sia nata effettivamente la mia carriera come prima appassionato di macchine da corsa e poi costruttore.
I met Enzo Ferrari on the 26th of November 1974, and it was a very long conversation, 5 hours, and after this conversation I left the building with the Ferrari 312T with all the spare parts to make younger Italian drivers run. And there I understood that my career as car builder started.
Carlo Chitti is another great Italian name in the world of Formula One. How did you find him personally and professionally when your team used his Motori Moderni Design Engines?
L'esperienza con Carlo Chitti è stata un'esperienza fantastica. Un uomo di grande cultura, un grande tecnico, una sfida un po' grande perché come Motori Moderni eravamo super privati contro le case automobilistiche. Però ho imparato tanto dal suo modo di lavorare, di pensare e di affrontare i problemi.
Carlo Chitti is a person I remember with love because he was a man with a great culture, and he also had much technical skills and knowledge. When we started running with Motori Moderni, we really understood that we were...
Giancarlo, scusi, mi puoi ripetere che cosa mi diceva di Motori Moderni?
Motori Moderni è una piccola realtà,
sì,
che con pochi soldi che ha combattuto contro dei colossi come Ferrari, Renault, BMW.
Ok, grazie.
Ford.
Motori Moderni was a smaller team, a smaller firm, which didn't have much money, and so it was very hard to compete against famous marks which were much richer than us.
Michele Alboreto gave your team first success in Formula 2. How important was this victory in the history of Minardi Racing? And we all miss Michele very much. How do you remember him as a person?
Michele è un po' un fratello minore. Michele ha cominciato come professionista in Formula 2 con me e mi ha dato la unica vittoria in un Gran Premio. Michele ha cominciato con me in Formula 2 e ha fatto l'ultima stagione a ruote scoperte in Formula 1 con me. Per me è un motivo di soddisfazione, un onore. Ho perso un fratello perché insieme avevamo in mente tante cose da fare per l'automobilismo.
Michele Alboreto was like a younger brother for me. And he was also very important because in Formula 2 he gave me the only one victory in a GP with naked wheels, ruote scoperte, with ruote scoperte in F1.
In Formula, insomma, nella Formula. Dalla Formula 2, Formula 2 a Formula 1, the first racing in Minardi, the finish the career, come si dice?
Career.
In Minardi.
So from the beginning of the career in F1, he went throughout to F1, and he was a very important person. So I felt like I lost a brother because we also had many ideas and many programs for the future.
Another young Italian, Elio De Angelis, had some issue with the Alfa Romeo Formula 2 engine. How good was Elio when he raced for your team?
Elio ha corso con me, con la Chevron e i motori Ferrari, il motore Dino Ferrari. È stata una bellissima esperienza, un grande pilota, un grande signore, non fortunato per quanto era bravo.
Elio De Angelis ran with me in Chevron
with Dino Ferrari engines, and he was a great driver and a great person. Unfortunately, he wasn't as lucky, as good as he was.
Johnny Cecotto left your team in the middle of the season. Was he as good racing on four wheels as he was on two wheels?
Johnny is very good driver. L'unico suo problema era che voleva essere era campione del mondo nelle moto e voleva diventare subito campione nell'automobilismo senza fare la giusta trafila. E credo che abbia avuto due sfortune: in Minardi di avere vicino Michele Alboreto e quando è andato in Formula 1 un certo Ayrton Senna. Per il resto, dopo ha vinto tutto nel turismo e quindi ha pianino dimostrato che cosa era capace di fare.
The problem with Johnny Cecotto was that since he was a great champion with motorbikes, he thought he might become as soon as possible a great champion with cars either, but he was not taking into account that he needed the time to do that. He also had two very big problems, which were Michele Alboreto, which ran with him at the time, and Ayrton Senna, of course. Still, Johnny Cecotto managed to show everybody how good he was because he managed to win all the prizes in Gran Turismo category later on.
How special was Fernando Alonso compared to other young drivers who raced for your team over the years?
Fernando Alonso è stato molto speciale, paragonato agli altri piloti nel corso degli anni che ha avuto.
Fernando Alonso ha vinto due titoli mondiali. Fernando Alonso fa parte di tutti i piloti che hanno contribuito a Minardi a fare 340 Gran Premi, quindi sono tutti figli miei e tutti uguali.
Fernando Alonso helped us to win two world titles, so he was one of the people who allowed Minardi to be great and to win 340 Grand Prix, and so I love him just like everybody else. He is like one of my many sons.
Monza 2008, the winning car had the name of Toro Rosso, but the spirit of Minardi. Were you at Monza on that rainy day, and were there any raindrops from your eyes?
Ecco, sì, Monza 2008, l'auto vincente era chiamata Toro Rosso ma aveva lo spirito della Minardi. Era a Monza quel giorno, in quel giorno piovoso, e aveva qualche lacrimuccia, no, si è emozionato.
Ero davanti alla televisione, ma mi sono emozionato tantissimo e è una vittoria anche un po' mia, grazie a tutti i ringraziamenti che in diretta in televisione i miei ex meccanici mi hanno fatto nei miei confronti. Quindi l'ho sentita anche un po' mia.
Unfortunately, I was not there that day, but I followed everything at home from my TV. And when that happened, I was very touched, and because it was my victory also, and that happened thanks to my ex mechanics that publicly said many thanks to me.
Formula One is called Piranha Pool. How was your experience dealing with people like Bernie Ecclestone, Jean-Marie Balestre and Max Mosley?
La Formula 1 viene definita una vasca di piranha. Com'è stata un po' la sua esperienza a trattare con persone come Bernie Ecclestone, Jean-Marie Balestre e Max Mosley?
Ma certamente non facile, però devo dire che la correttezza di Bernie è sempre stata nel bene e nel male nei miei confronti molto molto presente. Ho un ricordo stupendo, l'ho visto domenica scorsa a Monza e l'ho abbracciato affettuosamente. Jean-Marie Balestre non ho avuto molti rapporti. Con Max Mosley sì, perché Max Mosley era quello che mi vendeva le Mars di Formula 2 quando era ancora socio nel team March.
Del team?
March,
ok, quindi non è...
Lui è diventato dopo, after he's president of the FIA, before in together Robin Herd in March. I know Max when work in March, before arriving in FIA.
Questo è un po' difficile, magari gli chiedo qualcosa. Allora, surely it was not easy to deal with those people, but I have to say that Bernie Ecclestone was a very correct person and behaved always in a very correct way towards me. I also met him in Monza last Sunday.
Con Bernie Una stretta di mano era meglio di un contratto.
With Bernie, a handshake was better than signing a contract. Jean-Marie Balestre, I never had many relationship with him, so I can talk you about Mosley, who sold me.
Mosley, perché prima era vendeva le marce e io compravo le marce in Inghilterra.
Ok, perfetto, scusi che non sapevo cos'erano.
La marce è una macchina.
Proprio una macchina.
Adesso non esiste più. Secondo parlava italiano, quindi era più facile per me.
With Mosley it was easier because he sold me many March cars when from the UK, and it was easier because he also spoke Italian, so the thing was easier. And we had also a big relationship even before he was hired from FIA.
Three of the first four Formula One championships were won by Italian drivers, but no Italian world champion since 1953. Do you think Kimi Antonelli will change that?
Kimi Antonelli è il primo pilota italiano che va direttamente in un top, quindi ha davanti da sé una strada favolosa. Credo che abbia tutti i requisiti per vincere come ha vinto in tutte le formule minori. Incrociamo le dita e gli facciamo un grosso in bocca al lupo.
Kimi Antonelli is the first Italian driver that is going directly into a top team. I think he will have a great future before him because he has all the knowledge and the tools to win like he did in minor championship.
Lewis Hamilton moving from Mercedes to Maranello. Will he win a championship in a red car? What is your opinion on this?
Tutto bisogna che la Ferrari faccia una macchina vincente. E certamente uno che ha vinto 7 titoli mondiali porterà la sua esperienza, però credo che 7 titoli mondiali, se comunque non hai una macchina vincente, rimangono 7 titoli mondiali. Gli auguro anche lui di portare quell'entusiasmo che forse in questo momento viene un po' a mancare.
Prima di tutto per vincere un titolo mondiale la Ferrari. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
Sometimes Swiss
no
languages. First of all, to win a world title, Ferrari has to build winning cars. Sure enough, Lewis Hamilton, with his 7 world titles, will bring his experience to the team, and we wish him all the best for his future and for his career with Ferrari.
Okay, final question is, how good was Signor Giancarlo Minardi as a rally driver in Fiat 124 and in racing?
Quanto era bravo come pilota del Fiat 124?
Disastro. Ho capito subito che non era la mia strada e quindi sono passato dall'altra parte della scrivania.
I have to say that was an utter disaster. I immediately understood that it was not what I was meant to be, so I decided to switch on the other side of the table.
One more question. We are here at Imola. How long is the contract for Formula One to stay at Imola?
25 shoot. Now we work all the team for recuperare il 23.
Make up on the year 2023 where the Grand Prix was cancelled because of the flood.
E poi vediamo se riusciamo nel futuro a mantenere il Gran Premio Imola, che non è facile.
And then we'll see in the future if we can manage to keep the Grand Prix coming here, and it's not easy.
Thank you so much. It's a beautiful track.
Why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm David Coulthard, otherwise known as DC, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Now we come to Motorsports Mondial and we do our usual greetings and racing regards. We go back to Italy, to Misano Adriatico MotoGP. The Max of MotoGP is back on top in back-to-back races. Winner was Marc Marquez on a Ducati, so that is very good for him and for the sport. World Rally Championship, also known as WRC from Greece. The Acropolis Rally, Hyundai 1-2-3 led by Belgian Thierry Neuville. He also leads the championship with 192 points. Sébastien Ogier is second on 158 points. and Ottana from Estonia is third on 154 points. And now, sir, a couple of sad news to report. Alan Rees has passed away at the age of 86. He was one of the founders of March with Max Mosley, and the AR in March was for his initials. And he was the last living founder of the constructor March Engineering, who were in Formula One and also very successful in IndyCar racing. Also passing away on September 6 at the age of 98 was Indy 500 veteran Paul Goldsmith. And he was a winner on 2 and 4 wheels, so that's very impressive. Way back in 1953, Goldsmith won the Daytona 200 motorcycle race, which back in those days was a road course on the beach. And he was riding Harley, which was prepared by a gentleman by the name of Smokey Yunick, very famous for best damn garage in town. Now we go to our segment called Faces Going Places. Over the weekend, I was at Imola, Italian GT and Formula Regional Europe by Alpine, also known as Freca, were in action. And it is from this series we present Signor Rafael Camara as one of the faces going places, hopefully. He is from Recife in Brazil. His final year in karting was 2021, and he was very successful. He won 3 championships in the OK category, WSK Champions Cup, WSK Supermaster Series, and Champions of the Future, and he was second in the European Championship. He started racing in single-seaters in 2022 and was second in both the German and Italian Formula 4 championships. And this is that same 2 championship that Kimi Antonelli won a couple of years ago in same season in his first attempt. Last year, Camara was in a Formula Regional, so this is his second year, and he was fifth last year. And this year, he is leading the champion and is definitely head and shoulders above the competition. Now we come to famous last words. Today they come from Speak Softly, Love, So No One Hears Us But the Sky, the one and only ever humble EJ Eddie Jordan. This is his opinion on Toto Wolff promoting Kimi Antonelli as replacement for Lewis Hamilton. He said, and I quote, "He spun out. It caused a lot of damage to the car. I still believe that there's a place for Kimi, but not in Mercedes. That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't care how quick he is," end quote. Well, EJ has the right to his opinion, so no problem there. But some of us remember him making similar statement when Ron Dennis promoted his protege to replace one of the fastest drivers ever in Formula One, Kimi Raikkonen, for the 2007 season. We all know how that turned out. Question of the day is, who could that be? The answer is blowing in the wind with over 100 Grand Prix wins and same number of championships as the great Michael Schumacher. His Majesty's Royal Machismo, Lewis Carl Hamilton. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you very much. Mr. Rogers, what are you talking about, what EJ is talking about?
Well, EJ does talk a lot, but let's face it, in 2007, he may have been wrong. In 2024, he could be right. I mean, this guy is young, and I don't see LCH in Kimi Antonelli, but I'm often very, very wrong, so my fingers are crossed. I want to see a new protege, especially from Italia. So this is good for people, and this is good for motorsports. So let's hope he's a big one, because it could be exciting.
Finally, we come to Musical Mondial. Since there was a kind of hush all over the Papaya team at Parco Monza, today we have some beautiful music from Italy, courtesy of Signor Ennio Morricone. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy a theme from The Great Silence. Arrivederci, till next time.
A weird song to pick.